coming to you from Phoenix, Arizona, the heart of the Valley of the Sun. This is Mets Fans Out West, and now here's your host, Steve Villardi.
Hello, Mets fans. Well, how's it going? We suck. but we all know that. I don't know where that hello Mets fans came from, and then I was thinking about it. It kind of reminds me of, if you remember, back in the 80s when the Mets were on WWOR Channel 9, when a night game was over, they would usually have the news come on, and there was this weatherman who was kind of a cult hero for a couple of years. His name was Lloyd Lindsey Young. And he, you know, I think he used to just call out to different towns and cities around the tri-state area, and he'd be like, "Hello, Kings Park, Long Island," or something like that. It wasn't quite like Willard Scott calling out people if they were celebrating a 100th birthday or whatever, but, you know, he kind of had his own thing for a little while there. Anyway, welcome back to Mets Fans Out West. Now, if you've been waiting for this episode to drop, as the kids say, it's been a while since the last episode. And, just very quickly, I'm not gonna say too much about it, but just going through some, personal stuff over here. I am, going through a divorce and, I had to move. I'm still in the same building. I just moved to a smaller apartment, and my ex moved out of state. But just a lot of stuff going on, and so that's why I haven't been able to get the podcast out sooner. But we are back in business, and I'm going to try to get another one produced in the next couple of weeks to kind of catch up here. But that's the reason for that. Not going to get into it. It's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about our shitty Mets. No, it is about our fandom. I mean, seriously, how very comforting during this, you know, difficult time in my life to have my favorite sports team in the world every night to make me feel better about life. I mean, that is absolute sarcasm, as if you couldn't tell. What a lost season this was. But, you know, even the Diamondbacks, who started out pretty good, they've kind of had a bad month or so they're not as much fun to follow anymore. I'm glad I get to see a lot of Ohtani living out here, the West Side. I either get to watch or listen to the games if I'm driving around doing Lyft at night, and get to follow pretty closely with what Ohtani is doing. It's pretty pretty incredible yet again. And, you know, both my parents have passed away, and there's a lot of things I wish they were still here for, but I really, really... Maybe it's dumb, but I really, really wish my dad was still around to see what Ohtani is doing. I just think he would think it's pretty incredible. But anyway, but yeah, the Mets season is lost. I am recording this on Tuesday, August 8th, and it'll probably be released in the wee morning hours of Wednesday, August 9th. The Mets just lost to the Cubs last night. They won the night before, and that's the first game they won since the trade deadline. I'm not going to get into it too much because it's depressing, and it's not what this show is about. So, but what I will focus on was probably the high point of this season, which luckily for many of us, it was the Mets' trip out to Arizona, where they swept the Diamondbacks. In fact, that was kind of the beginning of the Diamondbacks' downfall, unfortunately. But as a Met fan, it was a great 3 days there. Met a lot of great people, handed out a lot of postcards for the podcast, and picked up a lot of downloads and listens. So if you're new to the podcast and this is your first new episode since seeing the Mets in Arizona, welcome. But yeah, that second game when, you know, Alvarez tied it when they were down to the last strike. So I really wanted to get out onto the street and hand out postcards as soon as the game was over. So I don't know if you saw, before Alvarez hits that home run, he gets a foul ball. He just gets a piece of this foul ball. And we happened to be in the suites that night. And when he just tips this foul ball, I didn't realize that he made any contact. I thought he swung and missed and the game was over. So I made a beeline to the bathroom in the suite so that I can get out on the street and hand out cards to anyone wearing Mets gear. And then I'm in the bathroom and I get the update on my phone that they tied it up, and I was like, what? What happened? And then when I finished in the bathroom, I came out, and all the Mets fans in the suite were like, no, no, get back in the bathroom, get back in the bathroom. So I was not allowed out of that bathroom until that half inning was over, and a lot of fun, and three big games. Special shout out to the Mets fans living in AZ Facebook group. They organized a meet and greet before the July 4th game with former Met pitcher Ed Lynch, and that was a lot of fun. So special thanks to that group and Susan and everyone over there. And speaking of Facebook groups, that's how I met today's guest. We are both in a Facebook group called Fans of GKR, and as you can probably guess, GKR is Gary, Keith, and Ron. It is an enormous Facebook group, and it's actually run by Gary Cohen's wife, Lynn, and they do a lot of very charitable things and have get-togethers, and so if you're not in that group, you should check it out. And I forgot, there was some post that I saw where Chris, today's guest, mentioned, you know, he's in Arizona, blah, blah, blah. So I just happened to contact him a few months before we moved out here and just said, hey, you mind if I pick your brain a little bit as a fellow Mets fan moving to the Phoenix area? And, you know, asked him to suggest where we should look to live. You know, we said we're used to the city. We like to have places that we can walk to. And he suggested a few places, including downtown Phoenix, which is where I have been and I love. So I really want to thank him for that. Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, with everything going on, all of a sudden it was August 1st, and I was like, hey, I haven't put out a podcast in a while. So I hadn't done any pre-producing on it, and I got in touch with Chris, and he was very quick to get back to me, and he did this on very short notice. And so I also want to thank him for that. And he's going to tell us about his life as a Met fan, including just an incredible story that involves his son and David Wright and Darren Meenan of the Seven Line and many members of the Seven Line. And it's just a great story to get all the details. He mentions that there was a New York Post article written about what he's going to talk about. So if you look in the description of the podcast, I have linked the Post article, so you can check that out, because it is a really incredible story among many entertaining stories that Chris has. So let's see, is there anything else? Yeah, I'm going to go out to Minnesota with the Seven Line. Speaking of Darren and the Seven Line, going to go out to Minnesota in September. So if you're headed out there, let me know. Come say hi. I'm sure I'll be handing out cards. And I think that's it. Now I'm going to say all those podcast things I'm supposed to say. Follow on Twitter. And that's what I shall continue to call Twitter, is Twitter. And it's Mets Fans Out West Podcast. That's the Twitter. We're on Facebook, Mets Fans Out West. My email is MetsFansOutWest@yahoo.com. And please like, rate, download, follow, subscribe, all those things that you're supposed to do when you like a podcast. So if you like this podcast, please do all those things. And if you don't like this podcast, you are listening to Unwritten with Jimmy Rollins and Ron Darling. I hope that's the name of it. Episode 7, Mets Fans Awakens. Here we go. Now chatting, Chris Sobel.
Born in Queens, Queens Hospital back in 1969 and moved out to Long Island. Mm-hmm. So I'm originally from Long Island, a town called Eaton's Neck, out outside of Northport, outside of Huntington. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Do you come from a family of Met fans? How did you become a Met fan?
I come from a family that really, they weren't Met fans. I come from a family where my grandfather and his brother both worked for Mrs. Joan Payson in the 70s. My grandfather's brother was her driver.
Oh, wow.
And later on, he ended up getting my grandfather a job taking care of her kennel where she had a lot of dogs.
Oh, wow.
And while most of my friends growing up were Yankees fans in New York, we could not afford Yankee tickets. So because they were really good back in the 70s. Uh-huh. But my grandfather was able to acquire lots of free tickets from Mrs. Payson. So I spent a lot of summers going to Shea Stadium with my dad or my grandfather.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And do you remember your first game?
Yeah, I do remember my first game. I don't have the ticket stub for mm-hmm. it. My first game was a scheduled doubleheader against the Montreal Expos. I remember getting there, and I remember we were there for batting practice, and the song they were playing that was popular at the time was "The Hustle" by Van McCoy, and that's what I remember. And I remember my dad trying to teach me how to keep score because I was probably about 6 or 7 years mm-hmm. old back then. And I actually have a ticket stub still for my 10th birthday. My dad took me to watch the Pirates May 26th, which is my birthday on 1979, uh-huh. which would have made me 10 that year. And they're box seats. They're Joan Payson mm-hmm. seats. And the price on the actual ticket is $6.
Oh, wow. Those are the days.
So I still have that ticket. It has a little Mr. Met holding a rainbow uh-huh. with a rain check on it. I still have those. I actually also still have a set of tickets from when the Yankees went to the World Series. I guess she had gotten tickets to go see the Yankees play the Dodgers game 5 mm-hmm. of the 78 World Series. And the price on that ticket was $12.
Whoa.
For Yankees Dodgers game
yeah.
5.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that, my first game was about 5 years old.
Right. That's what I was just going to ask. Do you remember if what year that was and if Gary Carter was already on the Expos then? But I think that's too early for Carter.
Too early. Yeah. It was 74, yeah. 75. I always say it was 1975. So I was 6 years old.
Cool. Who was your favorite player growing up?
I liked Dave Kingman. Mm-hmm. He was my favorite. I remember trying to look him up in the White Pages phone book because I wanted to call him. I liked him and I liked Lee Mazzilli. Mm-hmm. And I think my one guy I got to meet when I was younger was Felix Milan.
Oh, yeah.
Felix Milan. Yeah. Because of the seats and the relationship we had with the mm-hmm. Mets, there were a few times where we were able to go underneath the bleachers at Shea Stadium and go into the clubhouse, and Felix Milan was very, 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 I just remember having like him like throwing me a ball. And stuff
oh, that's
like that.
Awesome.
So I got to meet him and he was one of my favorites.
Later on, as you were growing up, any players you felt particularly fond of? The 80s group, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, just your standard operating procedure. Mm-hmm. The Doc and Daryl,
yep.
Like Doc and Daryl a lot. And I was a big fan of Oh, what was his name? I did like, I can't remember, Bobby Ojeda. I liked him when he pitched. And I liked all the guys on the 86 team. Yeah. I just liked their attitude. I liked Keith Hernandez. I liked their attitudes that they had. I remember when one of them got in trouble in a bar and there was in the newspapers. And
In Houston.
Yeah, who was that? I can't remember.
It was a few of them. It was Ojeda, Darling, Huffle, and Aguilera, I think.
I don't – it was Dykstra. Dykstra wasn't in there, was he?
I don't think so. Surprisingly, Knight, maybe Ray Knight.
I can't remember, but I remember that attitude of the 86 team of just like, what a bunch of badasses. Yeah.
And that kind of added some fuel to the fire in the in the NLCS too, because you know, they hated them in Houston before the Mets got arrested.
It was great.
Yeah, it was a great little subplot for that season. What? So you told me some of the first games you've been to. Any other favorites that you've been to over the years? Sounds like you've been to a ton.
So, I mean, that first game with my dad, the doubleheader, the scheduled doubleheader, I'll never forget that experience, because just walking, being in the city and then walking out and seeing that field was just like magic. I think that's every boy's like first like remembrance, and I love that. But for sure, like, there is one game here in Arizona that was by far my favorite game. It made him my favorite. It answers a lot of the questions that I know you want to ask me. It was 2006, and it was David Wright was playing for the Mets, and I think it was their last game here in Arizona, and David Wright, and I was there with my son who was in a wheelchair. He had muscular dystrophy, and we had gone to all the Mets games every year up until this particular day. We'd always sat on the concourse in the wheelchair sections. And then this one particular day, I just got a wild hair up me. I called the box office and I said, you know, I'd really like to do something special for my son. Is there another seat we could sit in besides up high? And they said, actually, Chris, we have these seats that are right next to the visitors on deck circle. They're in the little well right there. They're a little expensive. And I was like, I don't care. We're going to do it. We took the day off. We went down there, and turns out they're right next to the Mets on deck circle.
Yeah.
And what ended up happening was, I think David Wright came out on bat. He cracked one of his bats that he was at the plate with. A couple innings later, he comes out to lead off the top of one of the innings, the one of the following innings. And he had his cracked bat with him. And this is before they had all the netting up Chase Field. And he reaches over the railing and hands my son his bat in the wheelchair. And we just looked at each other, and he had signed it and everything. That by far was my favorite game. It ended up being a sweep of the Diamondbacks. It ended up being, an event that changed my affiliation and my love for the New York Mets and baseball, just baseball in general. Like, I've told that story a million times. And it's opened a lot of opportunities for me since that day. And there's a whole story that goes attached with that. But watching my son's face when David Wright handed him his baseball bat that was cracked and used and had pine tar on it still, probably my favorite game I've ever been
to. Yeah, that's incredible. And we'll come back to the rest of the story in a little bit if you want to. Okay. So when and why did you come out to Arizona?
So, you know, parents got divorced in 1980. Mom had sisters out here. We moved out here with my mom in 1980.
Oh, wow.
I've been out here. I moved to Phoenix. And now I live in Prescott, Arizona. You know, I moved up to Prescott about 20 years ago to get out of the heat. And
so that's about it's for those. Yeah. For those who don't know, it's a little north of the valley, a little north of the Phoenix Valley.
A little north, a lot cooler. I mean, I'm looking at it's about 87 degrees right now. Yeah. It's rained every single day this week because of the monsoon.
Oh, really?
But, yeah. But, yeah. So parents divorced and my dad stayed in New York and my mom stayed out here. And so every summer we would go back and visit my dad and he'd take us to some ball games. I still, even though my dad and mom are both, you know, moved on and passed away, we still keep the tradition alive every summer, every other summer. Sorry, we go to my wife's family one summer and then my family the other summer. We flip back and forth. So every other summer we go to Long Island and always make sure that before we pick out what dates we're going to go, we look at the schedule for MLB.
Yeah.
Like as soon as they released the MLB schedule, like they did a couple of weeks ago, we're like, all right, there's a weekend in July where the Fireflies will be out. And we can go catch a few Mets games because they'll be playing at home or they'll be playing in Yankee Stadium. So that's what we do every
other year.
That's
awesome. Yeah, I got to figure out when I'm going to get back because I really miss Citi Field.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Last year I went to one of the Subway Series games.
Oh, right.
It was the one where Max pitched, too. Uh-huh. And it was a great game. And Aaron Judge had all this hype going on and he went 0-for-4 and pop out, strike out. And I was sitting out with in the same section, I think, that the seven line sits, but they weren't there that day.
Did they win that night?
Oh, yeah. The Mets won that
night. Was that the Marte walk-off?
I don't think it was a walk-off. Mm-hmm. I don't remember because they played two games. I don't remember how it ended. No, it wasn't a walk off because we were starting to walk out. We were starting to walk out ahead of time. And if it had been, I just remember after the stadium, I got in my car and I listened to Keith McPherson on WFAN, who's a diehard Yankee fan.
I know.
And I started tweeting at him and you guys lost it. And then he started commenting on his radio show about how all the Mets fans are giving him crap. And actually, I still listen to him, and I've actually started to grow to like
him. Oh, really?
Yeah. Even though he's a Yankee fan, I still like him. I like him. I follow him. So
I was listening to a lot of FAN last summer while I was driving Lyft because the Mets were having a good year. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's tough for me to listen to it this year.
No, it's not because the Yankees are having a terrible year. So
I mean, I would always gloat in those weeks last year when the Mets were doing well and the Yankees were not in the second half of last year. I loved riding around listening to FAN all night because the Mets fans were so happy and the Yankees fans were just complaining all the time.
Yeah.
And it was great. And then we know what happened in September and October last year. Sure. And then I rarely listen to FAN in the off season, and this year
I don't either. Yeah. Baseball's over. I'm done FAN. I listen to whatever sports radio Arizona has because I listen to some of the Cardinal stuff.
Speaking of which, so you moved here in 1980. I didn't realize that. That was before MLB TV and all this stuff. How would you follow the Mets before we had all this this technology?
Just the same way everybody else did, you know, newspaper. Yeah. You know, the only way was newspapers to follow it, check out the box scores the next day. The occasional Monday night baseball game that might have had a Mets game on it. The occasional ESPN game that might have had a Mets game, but it was very few and far between. I also had my uncle back east who would like send me little clippings and things like that of the newspaper of Newsday and whatnot.
And any other New York sports teams that you follow since you've moved? Or,
I mean, my heart wants the Jets to do really well.
Me too.
My very first football game was a Jets game at Shea Stadium.
Oh, wow.
And my dad took me to that. And ever since, it's like, well, like it's baseball, you know, it was one of my first football games. So my heart goes there. Mm-hmm. I've been in Arizona long enough and the Cardinals moved here when I was living here. So I'm kind of a Cardinals fan now, but I still have a Jets hat and I threw away my Darrell Revis jersey. I'll root for the Jets, man. I'm really hoping that they do good this year. I'm not a big I like the Islanders too.
Yeah.
I do like the Islanders. I'm not a Coyote fan, but I like, you know, I remember seeing Mike Bossy play at Nassau Coliseum. And so
nice. And you play a little ball, don't you?
Oh yeah. I don't play baseball. I play competitive. There is such a thing as competitive slow pitch softball. Oh. I've been playing softball competitively for probably about 15 years. And I've been playing like regular, just like league pickup games for about 20, 25 years. Right now I'm on a travel team. We play once or twice a month. We travel. It's usually one weekend a month or two weekends a month. We go to Vegas. It's a 50s and up team because mm-hmm. I'm 54. Before that, I played on a 40s team, 40s and up, and I kind of stay with my age group. And we're competitive. You know, they have different divisions for slow pitch softball. They have AAA, they have AA, AAA, major, and major plus. And I belong on a pretty competitive major team. And we actually played last week up here in Prescott, which was nice for me. But a lot of times we'll play down in the Valley or New Mexico or Vegas mm-hmm. or Southern California.
That's cool. Yeah. Let me know next time you're in the Valley. I'd like to check that out.
Okay. Yeah. We're trying to avoid the Valley right now for softball.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
some of the tournaments that go on now, they don't start until about 8 p.m. at night, and they just play all night long. And the championship game is usually like 7 in the mm-hmm. morning. So
that makes
at my age, I'm not staying up all night on a Saturday night to play softball.
Any particular memories of the good years, of the championship years?
2015. I mean, what a whirlwind year that was. I love looking at the lineup that we had before the trade deadline mm-hmm. when you had like, who the heck was the cleanup hitter? You had like Eric, whoever.
Eric Young.
Who was their cleanup? They had that one.
I know the guy who his father played to
Mayberry.
Yes, Mayberry.
Cameron Mayberry playing uh-huh. cleanup. Right. I mean, our lineup was trash.
It was,
and all of a sudden Kelly Johnson, Uribe, mm-hmm. and then Cespedes. It was just like what?
Yeah.
And oh my God, that was magical. And Wilmer, the whole Wilmer, mm-hmm. the 5 days of Flushing thing with Wilmer and getting traded and not getting traded and watching that on TV. I remember watching that game on TV when they showed him crying. I was just like, this is messed up. Yeah. What are they doing? And it's really cool because I've gotten to talk to Wilmer and meet Wilmer several times now. In fact, I have a whole picture of him around our family and he's holding my baby daughter, Shay.
Oh, wow.
I have a really cool picture of Wilmer holding all like her and me. I got his arm around him. I've gotten really lucky at meeting some ball players before, but that whole season was just magical.
I agree.
I had a Mets friend here in Arizona that I'm really close with, and he lives down in Anthem, and we would drive down to Anthem and he would drive up here and we'd watch all the games together. The World Series pissed me off.
Yeah. It was, but it was such a fun year.
But it did. That was the year I got my tattoo because I always said to myself, I'll get a tattoo of the Mets if they ever make it to the World Series. Mm-hmm. And I had it all drawn out and they made it that year, so I got it.
Yeah, cool.
It's got City Field up here.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
Hold on. It's got the 7 line coming in right here. Oh, this is the 7 line train. With the Mets logo down here.
Very nice. Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that at the game last year.
Yeah, yeah. So that was something I had designed for a while. I actually had it with Shea Stadium until they moved.
And actually, I think you mentioned your daughter, Shea. I think you're the second guest in a row who has a daughter named Shea.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I know there's a lot of them out there. No,
but it's great. So let's get back to, you mentioned David Wright, you mentioned Wilmer. Any other Mets encounters that you want to mention?
I mean, tons of them. So the whole thing with David Wright was really cool because after he handed my son his baseball bat that mm-hmm. year, I looked at my son as we're sitting down there and I looked at Sean and he's in his wheelchair and I looked at him. I go, Dad, son, we're sitting down here every time the Mets come to play from mm-hmm. now on. And he's like, yeah, Dad, we are. And what ended up happening was the following year when the Mets came to town, I got tickets in those same seats and for all three games. And so when we took our day off, me and my son used to always play hooky together. We'd take the day off. We'd go down to Phoenix. We'd go to Hooters and then we'd, you know, he'd do his wheelchair over at the mm-hmm. stadium. So we're there early for batting practice. David Wright comes out to warm up and throw the ball. First thing he does is he makes a beeline for my kid, and he looks at Sean and he goes, "Hey, do you still have the bat I gave you last year?" So for a ball player to remember like what he did a year ago, like he remembered that he gave Sean his bat. And that meant like Sean looked at me like, huh? Mm-hmm. I was like, and I looked at him, I was like, oh my God, you are instantly my favorite player on the planet. Yeah. That you remembered that. So he would talk to him like, you know, how's school going? What are you doing? And every single year they would come out here, me and my son would be sitting down there, and David Wright would come out and talk to him and just treat him like so nice. And, so he was my favorite player. And then it used to be really frustrating because it seemed like every time the Mets were coming to Arizona after those few years, he was getting hurt like the week before they came out.
Oh yeah.
So, and would piss me off. He'd be like, oh great, my man crush is going on the DL for Arizona. And, when he announced that he was going to retire, I don't know if I told you this story, but when he announced his, did I tell you about what happened with the seven line?
Yeah, go ahead.
I did. So when he announced his retirement, the seven line has their show, the Orange and Blue thing, right? And when he announced it, Darren on the show said, you know, if you have a good David Wright story, call up and tell us your story. And so I called that morning and I told him my story about David Wright, always remembering to talk to my son. And those guys in the studio were, I forgot her name, but she was crying. Mm-hmm. And Darren was like, that is amazing, Chris. He goes, listen, if you can get an airline ticket here, I got your ticket for David Wright's last game. You can sit with us in the seven line arm section. And I was like, oh my God. And he's like, can you do it? And I'm like, I don't know if I can. I don't know. I'm going to try my best. I mean, it's a lot to ask for a round trip ticket for that on my budget. And I'll tell you, like, I got contacted by somebody in the Seven Line Army. They set up a GoFundMe and they raised enough money like instantly for me to go. Like I think all these people in the Seven Line Army just gave like $5 or $10 and I had a ticket and I bought a ticket. Shortly after that, a reporter from the New York Post reached out to me and heard the story and he wanted to do a story on me, which was really cool. So he had me, he interviewed me. The day of his last game, I think it was a Saturday, I got woke up early. I went down to Sky Harbor, took a flight to New York, landed, took the train that goes, I forgot what it's called. It's the train that goes around JFK.
The airport shuttle or what?
It goes to one of the train stations. I took that right to the city field.
Yeah.
Watched his last game. Ran into some friends that met with the seven line, ran into some other friends that I'm friends with from like Facebook and stuff. There was a couple of people that donated to the GoFundMe that I knew. So I stopped by their seats and said, thank you. And then I got back on the plane after the game was over and flew home that morning.
But that was a long extra inning game. If I remember correctly, like a 0-0 game, right?
I don't remember the exact score. It was a pretty emotional night.
Right.
I don't remember. I just remember Brian Anderson. I hate Brian Anderson. He's the guy that caught the pop up that David Wright had hit in foul ground. He could have just let it. He should have just let it drop and let him get the guy have another chance to hit a fair ball, not his last at bat to get pop up to the in foul ground.
I'm pretty sure that was a 0-0 game that went, you know, at least.
Yeah, 12, it might have been. I remember.
So, yeah, like I was worried that you might miss your flight or something.
You know what? And now you say I remember. I actually had to leave. Because I didn't want to miss my flight. And I remember listening to the rest of it and watching it on my phone as I was leaving and watched the rest. Yeah, that was how. And I think I even saw part of it at the airport. Mm-hmm. Other cool Mets that I met, like I said, Felix Milan when I was a kid. Curtis Granderson made a really cool video for my daughter when we were sitting in those seats.
Oh, yeah.
Curtis Granderson made a video of him. She said, Curtis, will you make a video for me for my teacher? And he's like, sure, what's your teacher's name? She said, Mr. Merkel. So my daughter whips out her phone and she's like looking at him like this. And he goes, well, hello, Mr. Merkel. This is Curtis Granderson. And he's a Met fan, mind you. Like her teacher was a Met fan. And she missed school to go to this day game. So he goes, Well, hello there, Mr. Merkel. This is Curtis Granderson of the New York Mets. Hope you're having a good school year so far. I just want to let you know that Cheyenne missed your class today for a really good reason. She's here watching New York Mets baseball, and it was just great. The seats that we sat in that front area, we've gotten a chance to meet tons of people. I mean, Tim Tuffle was really nice with us. I met Le Grand Orange when he was there. Terry Collins, but Wilmer Flores. Wilmer hopped over the railing and took pictures of me and my family and my kids. And then when he got traded to the Diamondbacks, when he was still with the Mets and he was still with the Mets and they had an extra inning game during the day and we were cheering for him. We had a sign that said, Wilmer. It just said Wilmer. But instead of Wilmer. We had a sign for him. We were right there in the front row. And then after the game was over, he came over and handed me his batting gloves, which I still use one of them for my glove for my mm-hmm. mitt. And then when he got traded to the Diamondbacks, I started following him on Instagram and we've messaged back and forth a few times, and I've told him hey, any chance I can get a new pair of batting gloves? And he's given me new batting gloves every time he's come out here and I've gone to see him play. Met Howie Rose.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. We got to the ballpark early down in Phoenix and our season ticket holder or our ticket rep guy let us in early cause it was really hot mm-hmm. outside and I was friends with him. He played softball with me. And a few times, and he let us in early. It was whatever the Kentucky Derby was. We were there early, and we were sitting in our seats watching the game before they let anybody in. We were watching the Kentucky Derby on the big screen out there, and me and my wife decided to take a stroll around the concourse, and Howie Rose was getting a hot mm-hmm. dog. And so I took a picture with Howie and had him sign it. My wife made me a really cool coffee table book. I can't think. I mean, I've met tons. Who's the old guy? The old guy that played baseball.
Julio Franco.
Julio Franco. Yeah. I've met a ton of Mets sitting in those seats. They've been so kind, and just so nice to us because we go decked out in Mets gear. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Any memorabilia that you're particularly proud of, fond of?
Other than the bat. Other than that bat is my baby.
Yeah.
I love it. I do have in my office at my work, I have a whole bookshelf and it's got nothing but memorabilia. It's got a bunch of baseball signed. I have Doc and Daryl next to each other in cases. I've got, R.A. Dickey's book is signed for me.
Oh, yeah.
He signed his book for me wherever I roam, wherever I wind mm-hmm. up.
Right.
I think the bat is the main one, but I have tons of giveaways and stuff that I keep. And but that bat is the golden one. And then my friend who's into collecting baseball cards, he's given me a couple of Pete Alonso rookie cards.
Oh, cool.
From those, so the really nice cards that don't even, I don't know, they look like chrome mm-hmm. or something like that, or they're like hologram cards or whatever. I don't really care too much about baseball.
Yeah, me neither. Anymore. But,
how old are you, Steve?
I will be 47 in November.
Did you collect baseball cards when you were
for a couple of years, but.
So we used to do the most messed up racist thing when I was a kid with our baseball cards. And back then it didn't even faze me that this was mm-hmm. wrong, but it probably wouldn't now because our society is a little different, but we used to flip for cards. Do you know what that is? So what we used to do is we used to go odds or evens. Okay. I'll be odds and you're evens. Mm-hmm. I say I'm odds and you're uh-huh. evens. So we turn our cards over, all of our cards. You flip it over. If it's a white guy and a white guy, even wins. If it's a white guy and a black guy, the odd wins. And that's how you've traded
cards. I don't
cards.
Remember that part of it. But
yeah, it's funny.
I don't think they do that anymore.
No, they don't do that. That would be frowned upon in our society.
So, have you ever gone to spring training in Florida?
No. Bucket list. Yeah, bucket list idea for sure. Want to go to definitely want to go check out a spring training game and make it a family trip. Maybe go down to vacation a little bit. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it's not as easy to bounce around as it is here to see them on the road, but you might be able to get a couple of road games in, you know. You just got to look at the schedule and plan it out. I love spring training here, though, honestly. Do you go to any spring training games here?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. We'll always try to hit up a few of them. Love sitting out in the grass. Mm-hmm. Don't need to be fancy or anything for spring training. Get there late. Leave it early if you want to. Just being out at the ballpark, it's like getting geared up for the season.
Yeah, it's just such a cool atmosphere. And I love that all the ballparks are pretty much within an hour, hour and a half of each other. You know, you could come into town and see, you know, anyone you want to on these teams. So in your softball league, do you guys have walk-up music?
No. No, I saw your question about that. Here's something about walk-up music that me and my wife did that was kind of fun. When they would come to Arizona, we made it a point to learn every single walk-up song that they had. And when they were standing in the on-deck circle, we wrote it on the back of our Let's Go Met sign. We wrote whose walk-up song was what. And when they were walking up to the plate, me and my wife would just start belting out the walk-up song as they were walking up the plate, because it's Chase Field. They don't play their walk-up music. So we wanted to make them feel at home by singing their walk-up music when they were walking up to the plate. And I can't, I can't remember what Marlon Byrd's was, but he really got a kick out of us doing it when he was on the Mets. And we used to do that.
That is a great idea, especially if you're sitting right up there where they could actually hear you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I thought about like maybe I'll bring a Bluetooth speaker or something like that, plug it in. But this is me and my wife, we wrote them all down in the back and we had it all there in case they, so we could sing it when we were walking up.
That's awesome. So what would you – so let me rephrase the question. If a friend of yours from New York or the East Coast were to move out to Arizona, is there any – what advice would you give them?
About moving out here?
Yeah.
About where to live or just in general?
Just lifestyle. Anything that strikes you as very different.
If they're from the city.
Yeah.
If they're from the city, the food's not as good. Mm-hmm. It's a lot slower paced.
Yeah.
It's a dry heat, and it does mean it's a dry heat. Be prepared to put on some lotion and get used to your skin cracking, because if you're from the East Coast, you probably have good moisturized skin. I would say we are not as passionate about sports out in Arizona as the New York fan base is. I mean, fans in New York know what's up. Yeah. They know. Like – that guy, Jesse Winker, no matter what team he's playing on, gets booed whenever he goes to Citi Field, because the Citi Field faithful know who Jesse Winker is. But
and that guy who caught Wright's pop-up that you mentioned.
Brian Anderson, he still gets booed. Because why did you do that? You know, but fans here, man, they just don't pay attention a lot of times. You know, it's more of a social hour. People here really know the sports. People in New York really know sports. So just be prepared for that culture shock. Right now in the thick of summer, man, it is hot. It is hot. Get ready for that.
It is. But I mean, I always say to people, I mean, everybody and everybody is different. You know, I feel like some people will prefer the dry heat and some people are better with humidity. But I always can say 118 here is as uncomfortable as 98 and humid. You know, it's a different kind of uncomfortable, but you know, it's just as bad. And I will still say I prefer 118 to 18 any day.
Yeah, you know, when I first moved out here, I remember they didn't have a baseball team right here, and that was so weird to me. Like, I like trying to find people that liked baseball when I first moved here in 1980 or 80. I think we moved here in 81. It was like some people liked the California Angels.
Yeah.
Some people liked the San Diego Padres. Some people liked the Texas Rangers. And some people liked the Houston Astros. And it was like those were teams that people rooted for back
Dodgers.
Then. The Dodgers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Dodgers, too. So I found it like that was odd, like when I moved out here. So at least there is some sports now.
Right. The Cardinals weren't even here yet then, right? They were still in St. Louis.
College football was big.
Right.
Arizona State football was a big thing. That was that stadium was sold out. I remember going to that. Going to football games with my stepfather, and that stadium was always packed.
Right. Yeah, college sports seem to be a lot bigger here than they are in New York, at least in New York City.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And you mentioned food. You miss the East Coast food.
Yes, big time. I mean, we go back to New York, like I said, every summer we're back there. I grew up on the water. I grew up clamming.
Yeah.
I grew up lobstering. I grew up getting oysters out of the water and eating them. So I love the seafood back on Long Island. Love it. And then going into the city, pizza. I mean, my favorite pizza, I know my new favorite pizza is called New Park Pizza. New Park Pizza. Uh-huh. That's my favorite. That's my new favorite. My old favorite used to be Little Vincent's. That's the cold cheese pizza.
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard of that?
No. Is that on Long Island?
Okay. There's two. There's got two restaurants. One's in Huntington and one's out in towards the end of Suffolk County a little bit. But it's really good pizza and a little tiny pizzeria. But right before they give it to you after it comes out of the oven and when you order a slice, they throw a big clump of mozzarella and provolone mixed up on top of the pizza. Oh. So when you fold it, it's got this cold cheese in there, which is great because you don't burn the roof of your mouth eating it. And the crunchy crust combined with that chewy cold pizza is phenomenal. Wow. And they the bagels, God, all the bagel shops. There's no delis out here. That's another thing I would tell people. Be prepared. There's no freaking delis. You're not going to go into a deli and get a sandwich like you can in New York. Like every single strip mall has a deli, a pizzeria, a laundromat, and they don't have that out here.
You got any good pizza in Prescott?
It's a Prescott. So there's a guy that's from Long Island. He's from Queens, actually. He's from Queens, and he has a pizza place. It's called Fresca's. I mean, I would say they're a Prescott 6.
Yeah.
They're about a New York 3. Yeah. There's a place out in Chino Valley, which I have been known to drive out to and get a pizza. It's called – Shay, what's the name of that pizza place? Aroma. It's called Aroma Pizza. And it's a 30-minute ride for me, but it's worth it. It's a Prescott. It's my Prescott 10, but it's probably a New York 7. New York's not even, maybe New York 6. There's no places like the food that you can get in New York. I mean, shit, I'll take a pizza at Grand Central Station and then Pennsylvania Station and underneath the ground. I'll take that over any of the pizza here any day.
What about Chinese food? Any good Chinese food up there?
Not one. Not one single Chinese food. I mean, there's one Chinese food place. There's one restaurant, and they have two locations in Prescott Valley and one in Prescott. It's called Canton Dragon, and they're not the best at all. I'd much rather eat at Panda.
Yeah.
There's no Chinese food restaurants here that are worth a damn. There's no bagels here, really. I mean, Einstein's is we got no bagels.
Yeah. Yeah, Einstein scratches the itch, but it's not like a good bagel.
It sucks.
There's a couple of other.
We used to have a guy named Biff's Bagels. You know, any place that makes their stuff from scratch and stuff, that's great. But Einstein's, it's a chain. I don't want that.
There are a couple of other bagel places in the valley that the people say are good, but
Chompies.
I've heard that's not good. Independent places, you know.
Yeah, there are some places. Cat's Deli. I think there's a Cat's down there.
Oh, yeah.
Or, yeah, there's a deli down there. I forgot what it's called. I thought it was Cat's Deli or there's a Jewish deli down there.
Well, there's Scott's Generation, Scott's Generations, which is Glendale and
17. This one's on – no, the one I'm thinking – maybe that's good, but the one I'm thinking of is on Central.
Oh, Miracle Mile. Is that the one?
Maybe. It might have changed their name. I haven't been down there in forever.
Yeah, but I haven't checked them out yet, but I keep meaning to. Is there anything you'd like to mention about our current Mets team?
Let me take a deep breath. I mean, we talked a little bit before we started talking on this call. You know, everybody had high expectations, high hopes. It was Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander, JV. He was hurt at the beginning of the mm-hmm. year. And Max, yeah, I can say some stuff. Max Scherzer pisses me off for a guy to be like, he's half the reason why we're in the mess that we're in right now. He did not perform at all. And then for like a month ago or whatever it was, 3 weeks ago, for him to go out to the media and say, yeah, I'd be willing to trade my – I'd be willing to give up my no-trade clause if the right team came along. It's like, dude, you're the reason we're – you're the one of the main reasons we didn't perform.
Right.
And you're going to like tell us that you're ready to kick us to the curb? That pisses me off. It's just this whole season – the three main factors of baseball never played well together. Mm-hmm. Offense, defense, and pitching never came together at all during the whole season. There were times where one was good, one was bad, and the other was bad. And it just never came together. And that's going to happen. That's baseball. Yeah. But I'm hanging my hat on that we have an owner that is not like the Wilponzies, that he's actually going to spend some money. He's willing to spend money to get rid of some of the contracts to boost up our farm system. I truly feel like he's doing the right thing. And like we talked about, you know, the Yankees aren't. Mm-hmm. Like the Yankees are hanging their hat on there. It's the Mets. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, my hope is that Steve Cohen spends some money during the wintertime. I heard Billy Epler talking today. Maybe it was yesterday, but I heard it today where he was saying, you know, the odds aren't going to be as good for us next year. But we are going to compete. I don't know how much of what he comes out of his mouth, I believe. Yeah. I have to just wait to see it. I have a feeling that Steve Cohen, my personal opinion is that he's bolstering the farm system, but he's going to spend some money in this offseason and bring some good talent in once the season's over. I don't know if we're going to get Ohtani. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Cohen has showed that he's willing to spend enough money to where our draft picks suffer, and that's cool. I mean, we lose out on our draft position because of the money he spent, right? Didn't we?
I don't know.
I think part of like the tax on spending so much money was our draft pick was moved down because and so he's willing to do that. I think he wants to win. We have an owner who wants to win. He's a fan. Mm-hmm. You know, I like that Epler is going to Francisco Lindor. He's going to Pete Alonso. He's going to the core of these guys and saying, this is our plan.
Right.
He's not telling us as fans what that plan is, but he's going to the core pieces and saying, this is what we're going to do.
So is there anything else that you want to mention before we wrap up? Work, hobbies, family?
I have a really cool video of my daughter Shay when she was 2 years old singing her version of Meet the Mets. It's so cute. But she can't, you know, she can barely talk and she's singing the song and best as she could. And then I have a really cool video of her sitting outside of Citi Field at the Home Run Apple singing Meet the Mets because they play it in the background. You know, they play it the whole
over
time
and over and over.
Yeah. So she's in there singing. It's so awesome. Yeah,
you're in one of those long lines waiting to get your bag checked and you just hear Meet the Mets 10 times.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, well, if there's nothing else you want to mention, I just want to thank you again for doing this.
Yeah, no problem. My pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. Yeah. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets. Intro and outro announcer, Matthew Carey. Artwork by Lauren Gunn. Music by Braden and Nancy Pastor. 2. All beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
This has been Mets Fans Out West, hosted by Steve Velarde. Until next time, Mets fans, thanks for listening.